but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, the big news of the day coming out of Portland with Chauncey Billups, Blazers coach, waking up with the FBI at his house, the Department of Justice, U.S. Attorney's Office, FBI involved in all of this. We've been talking about it on today's show. Every Thursday on the program, Trent Walker, the Oregon State wide receiver, joins us. Today's no different. It's courtesy of Jamba, and Trent Walker is with us. I want to talk about something different. First of all, congrats on the win. You guys won a game last week. Take a victory lap here. How'd that feel?
Yeah, appreciate it. Felt good, man. It felt good going to the locker room with a smile. Felt good going out and seeing the fans after the game. It was a good time, man. Winning's fun.
Second half of that game, you guys kind of imposed your will. It was physical, and your run game really got going. You could kind of feel it turn if you were watching it. What did it feel like to be on the field?
Yeah, I think we definitely didn't start how we wanted to start. Luckily, we got away with it. But the second half, the message was we got to get out of our own way, and just be who we are. And then we kind of just, I think we scored, what, like 35 unanswered or something like that. So it was good to see.
Good win. You're obviously got a week off here, or a bye week. I shouldn't say a week off because you guys are always working. But I want to ask you a little bit because we've been talking about gambling on the show. You know, the NCAA's got rules. You guys get talked to about gambling. Can you take us through kind of the instruction that you get as a college athlete, you know, that from, you know, what you can do and can't do and how diligent that is, or what, you know, what you're forced to read or what you see on a daily basis that warns you to stay away from it?
Yeah. So, every year, usually it's during fall camp. We have like an hour long meeting on just NCAA rules and whatnot. And there's like a strict, absolutely no, that you cannot gamble on anything. I think, if you get into like fine detail, I think the rule for us as college athletes is you can't gamble on anything that's a NCAA sport. Mm. So I think I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure UFC you're allowed to bet on because it's not an NCAA sport. But even if you were to do that, you can't do it anywhere on campus.
Do you see on a daily basis? I used to walk into locker rooms and you'd see like a poster, and it would say, hey, you can't do this as an NCAA athlete. Do they have that stuff posted around the campus, or is it just that talk?
No, yeah, it's everywhere. We got posters everywhere, little reminders. I did see something, though, on my Twitter the other day that legislation is trying to pass that starting November 1st, college athletes can start gambling. Mm-hmm. I don't know much information on that, so I don't want to speak on it, but... Right. But that could definitely change the outlook on how college players view casinos and all that.
I wonder, too, as an athlete, because gambling has become such a big thing, that you get people who are tweeting at you who are upset because their bet didn't come through, or you didn't catch so many passes, or, you know, little things like that. That seems to have picked up in the last couple of years, too, because there's so much wagering going on out there.
Yeah, I've definitely seen a couple of DMs on Instagram and Twitter that aren't too happy with me. But then I've also seen some where they're like super, super thrilled that I got the over or whatever they betted on me for. So it's kind of funny to see, but it definitely crosses the line at some point when people put a little too much money they can afford to lose on it.
Yeah, that too. And then I just think people will kind of lose their minds a little bit. We've talked about it on this show that people are a little bit out of hand when it comes to, like, you know, sports is supposed to be a diversion. It's supposed to be your escape. It's supposed to be fun. And then, you know, people are losing their minds out there. And I think that sports wagering element is a part of it. We're talking to Trent Walker, wide receiver, Oregon State. All right. So, you know, you guys are, I don't want to say it's an off week, but a bye week. Where is the focus for you guys right now?
The focus is really just on ourselves. We're looking at a little bit of Wazoo, but really this week, we're doing more individual work, getting better at our fundamentals and our craft, getting some young guys some more reps during practice. I think it was a much needed bye week. I know last year we got two, and one was after every four games, and then this was like a long 8-week stretch. So I think it was definitely needed, not only physically but mentally.
The quarterbacks, you know, Malik Murphy started. Jamari Johnson came in after and played really well, especially running the football. Where does that stand right now in your mind? Both of those guys, your coach Rob Akey saying, "Hey, it's not a quarterback controversy," but I think people who saw that game last Saturday are going, "Well, hey, wait a minute, the team just looks so much better with Jabari Johnson in there." What are you seeing in practice, and what are guys talking about?
I think both guys are super talented. We saw it last year with Bari. When he was competing with Vonnie, he's a guy that will come in and do what's asked of him. I think Malik's talented. I stand by both of them. I think both of them can get us wins. We'll see how Langs deals with it, but I trust both of them. I feel good about both of them.
Yeah, I think it's hard too, because you see a guy, you know, obviously guys were happy because you won the game, but you see a guy who you've been catching passes with all year, who probably, you know, on the sideline isn't too happy in the second half because he's not playing. You've been there. You've been there as a player. How hard is that to stay focused if you're not getting playing time?
Yeah, I mean, I saw some tweets talking about how Malik didn't look too happy, but I kind of disagree with that. I think he was a guy who still had energy. He was still supporting us, and I don't think there's anyone happier for Bari than Malik, and so the tweets I thought were a little inaccurate. I think they caught a picture of the TV copy that kind of just saw a glimpse of it, but it really didn't paint the full picture. But going back to your question, I think it is tough. You feel like if you're a competitor and you're not on the field, it definitely hurts.
You are a guy who's in the locker room. You know what's going on there. And I know after Coach Bray was fired, you know, Jabari Johnson came out and he had that comment about some guys are quitting, or, you know, I can't remember the exact words of it, but help us set that straight. What do you think he meant by that? Was it that the locker room had shut down? Was it that there were just certain guys? Help me understand what was going on in the locker room at that time.
Yeah, I think the media kind of took his quote the wrong way. I don't think for a second Coach Bray lost the locker room by any means. I think what he meant to say was when we were down in the fourth quarter, it's tough for dudes to stay in the fight and not feel like it's over when we still have time. Mm-hmm. I talked to Bari about it. I know he didn't mean it as the locker room's lost and dudes are already quitting on the season and on the team. I think it was more so just in the moment. He felt like a couple dudes didn't still believe that we could finish a game late down the stretch.
You guys have won a game now, and I kind of wonder at the beginning of the year if maybe some of the issues with closing a game came from, hey, you know, you hadn't been there a lot. And does beating a team like Lafayette even and closing the way you did, does that help instill confidence as you play Washington State twice and Tulsa and Sam Houston down the stretch here?
Yeah, 100%. I think I talked about it with you off the radio, but having if we were to have the games like Lafayette and Fresno State, if we were able to have those first three games just go the way we wanted to, and kind of flip the schedule on its head and did reverse, I think we would have learned how to close out games and win, because some people get it messed up. Like when you're winning, that's the time you're supposed to put your foot on their neck and continue to do what you've been doing to get to the lead. And I think it takes time. It takes experience to learn that.
You go to Jamba and you go to Jamba after a win. What are you ordering in the wake of a win in a week where you went 1-0 last week?
I went with the white gummy this week. Okay. I like that one.
All right. Well, tell us about the white gummy for people who've never had it.
It's real sweet. There's a little sour to it. I don't know if it's the healthiest smoothie in the world. Like, I wouldn't go there on your weight loss journey, but it's a good one.
Trent Walker with us. All right. You grow up in the area. You got to be a Blazer fan. I feel for Blazer fans today. It's like, you know, it's a little bit like Charlie Brown in the football, right? You go to kick the football and Lucy pulls it out. And, you know, I thought the Blazers played well last night. They're starting a season. It's a young team. And then here comes bad news. You've lived through this in your childhood. Like, you know, there just been a lot of setbacks. Did you grow up a Blazer fan?
Yeah, I did. I wouldn't say I'm a diehard Blazer fan. When someone asked me, I'm a Blazer fan.
That's your team. Did you ever have a jersey of any player?
I had, what was his first name? He wore number 7. I think it was Roy something.
Brandon Roy. Come
Brandon
on.
Roy, yeah.
Brandon Roy, that's a big, big deal.
I wasn't a big basketball guy. I played it, but I didn't really watch it.
You said it without saying it when you were like, Roy something. I love it, though. Trent Walker. Yeah. Hey, you're the best, man. Congrats on getting a W. Go finish this year. I don't need to tell you. Go finish this year and line up a bunch of W's at the end of the year. You'll feel good about it going into the offseason.
No doubt. I appreciate it.
Okay, there he goes. Trent Walker. Big fan of that Roy guy. I love that. That was so authentic. I want you to leave it here. We got to talk more about the Blazers and the conundrum that they face. You got the Bald Face Truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network.